The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the right and to the left. And we are grateful to God for His kindness. We thank God as the anniversary is approaching. We are excited and totally just grateful to our Father. Okay, so this morning we will continue in our series, Rise and Build. Rise and Build. Let's humble our hearts as we receive meekness, the engrafted word of God that is able to save us and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. God bless you.
Today we are in the third part of Rise and Build. And, you know, in part one gave us the burden. What do you see? That was what part one gave us. Part one gave us the burden. What do you see? Part two put the burden into motion. Move, measure, mobilize. So part two put the burden into motion. And then in part three, the question is no longer, will you show up? Because people show up, right? The question is now, what kind of mind will you bring to the work? The question is not, will I show up? The question is, what kind of mind am I bringing to the work? So the part three, we are looking at a mind to work. Everybody say a mind to work. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 says that, so we build the wall. So built we the wall. Other people had a mind to work. A mind to work. So the work changes when people stop merely showing up. The work changes when people stop merely showing up. It changes when people begin to own the work. Own the work. So what we see in Nehemiah and the Word of God, and it's so true, is that you can actually put your hand to the work. You can put your hand to the wall without ever putting your heart to the work. It is possible to put your hand to the work, but your heart is not in the work. I mean, there was a time saying to the people, and he was saying, you draw near to me, and you call me Lord, Lord. So proximity, they were with Jesus. And he says, but your hearts are far away from me. In vain do you worship. So when we are close to the work and our heart is far to the work, the worship becomes vain. Our worship will not be vain in the name of Jesus. He says, in vain do you worship me, because you are close to the work, but your heart is far from the work. They had a mind to attend, but not a mind to work. And in the case of Nehemiah, we see those two categories of people were there. But the wall was built because of the people that had a mind to work. So before the wall changed, in every case, the mindset of the builder must change. The mindset must change. And that applies to everything you are building, even in your academics, even in your career, even if you run a business. Even if you are in a school, or you are in a church, or you are in a community, works the same way. Before the world changes, your mindset has to change. Even in parenting, some parents are present physically, but their heart is far away. Their heart is not there. So the wall does not get built. It applies across board. So pastor, how can I have this change of mindset that will change my career, change my business, change my education, change my family, change how I participate in the Church of God? How? Things. The first thing is that you have to own your part. You have to own your part. You have to own your part. They said, this is our wall. They didn't say this is Nehemiah's wall. They didn't say this is Ezra's wall. They said, this is our wall. In verse 6 of Nehemiah 4 that we read, it says, so built we. There was a we. So built we the wall. It did not say, so built we Nehemiah's wall, or so built Nehemiah the wall. So built we the wall. That little word matters. It matters. So the burden began with Nehemiah, but the work no longer belonged to Nehemiah. Work accelerates when people stop saying, oh, someone should take care of these children. Someone should sort this out. Someone should. And it becomes, I will sort it out. I will. I will. And this works again across board. You know, even in personal development, people are like, oh, someday I will read this book, or I should read this book. I should study. I should. Nothing gets done until it becomes what? I will. Ownership. Because you and I cannot build something we keep referring to as someone else's. You cannot build what you keep referring to as someone else's responsibility. You cannot build what we keep referring to as someone else's responsibility. Oh, marriage, same thing. It applies to marriage, it applies to family, it applies to church, it applies to community, it applies to personal development. At some point, ownership needs to happen. Ownership must replace observation. You know, some people, they have a PhD in observation. The PhD, they see what everybody else should do. Someone should be this. Someone should get that. Should they know that someone should do this? Someone should do that. But the point is, you need to advance from a PhD in observation into a PhD in ownership. Ownership. Because think about it. Observation is not very, doesn't require much. Anyone can observe. In fact, anyone can be a critic. Have you noticed the World Cup is just over? Everybody knew what every player should do. You should have passed like that. You should have given that cross. Oh, look at that goal. You should have scored that goal. You know, I mean, yesterday we were playing soccer and there was a free kick and I missed the free kick. And I was sitting myself, but you were criticizing this player. When similar situation. Just bend it across the wall. You see the space. Just do it. And I did it and it went out. It's easy to observe and to criticize. It's easy. But that player should have scored. It's easy to observe. I saw the space. I saw it. Just bend the ball. Come on. And many times, people live and die as observers and social commentators. They never become participators. They never roll up their sleeves and own things. And it's a problem because you become a problem to everybody. Because you cannot build what you keep referring to as somebody else's responsibility. In any area, even in your faith. And so, but you don't hear on your part this morning as do everything. No. You don't hear on your part as control everything. Ownership means I will not abandon my own part of the wall. I will not abandon my own area of contribution. Ownership says, if this is my wall too, this is my work too. If this is my wall too, then this is my work too. If this is my house and I'm responsible to sweep, then that sweeping is my work too. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, where have I become a spectator? Where have I become a spectator? Where have I become a commentator? Where do I complain but refuse to contribute? Where? Where do I just complain about, oh, this person should have done that, that person should have done that, that person should have done that? What has been before me, but I have consistently called somebody else's problem? What? Think about it. What? So what God is saying to you and I is this: stop waiting for everyone to care before you decide to care. Stop waiting for everyone to care before you decide to care. You know, someone that was my pastor, some years ago, visited the Lagos church when I was there. And he was saying to the leaders that for all the time he was my pastor, your pastor was never late once. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know he noticed. But guess what? That was not the case. Every other person was coming late. There are people that were my leaders, my seniors, they would come late. The first time I came early, and they're like 10 minutes late. The second time I came early, they're like another 30 minutes late. After a while, I began to say to myself, why am I coming early? But the problem is, that would have been legitimate if I was coming early for them. It became irrelevant because I was coming early for who? For God. I was coming early for God. So ownership says, this is mine. I stop waiting for everybody to care before I decide to care. And there are many things that happens when you come early. You see things that people do not see when they come late. Because when you come late, there's something that happens to you. You are in rush mode. You want to just be ready for part you need to play. When you come early, you see something that is missing, you see something that needs attention, you see something that, and you can't step up. So he said, this your pastor never came late. And I cast my mind back at the time. The truth is that there were times felt that what's the point? I'm not gonna come early anyway. Really. But I'm like, no. My service is unto God. this is the time. And I'm going to, and guess what? What helped me? I saw somewhere in scriptures, I don't remember the chapter and verse right now, but it says that at the time of the congregation of the people of Israel, that God was there waiting for them. I'm like, no way. So let's say the time of congregation was 10 a.m., right? The Bible says God was there before 10 waiting. So if that is the case, when I come early, who am I meeting? He's there waiting for me already. Now, when I come late, who am I meeting? He's also there waiting for me. So, and to my mind, I'm like, I will not keep God waiting. You see, but what we're saying this morning is that it's not that ownership means that you are responsible for the whole world. No. And that brings us to the next thing. So the first thing is what? Own your part. The second thing is walk your section. Walk your section. You don't have to build the whole wall, but walk your section. Nehemiah 3 repeatedly says to us, the pattern was clear. It's clear in Nehemiah 3. One person repaired here. Another family repaired there. Next to him was this person. Next to him was that person. So nobody built the whole wall. Everybody built a section. Everybody built a section. And that should give us a lot of perspective, because sometimes when we look at the whole thing, we are like, this, I can't do the whole thing. But the truth is that God is not asking anybody to do the whole thing. But do you know that how you build your section can inspire how I build my section? How you build your side of things can, will, and does inspire how the other person will build their side of things. Praise the name of the Lord. So nobody built the whole wall. Nobody built the whole wall. Everybody built a section. Everybody say everybody built a section. So you're not responsible for the whole wall. You're not responsible for the whole wall. But you are responsible for your section. That's just, free your mind, you know, and free my mind, free the minds of those that may feel overwhelmed. You know, they are busy, they are building their own bits, but they are overwhelmed that, oh, there's a lot to be done. You know, just build your own and do it excellently, and you will inspire the next person to build theirs. And it should also, bring relief to the people that are not building anything. They are not doing anything. They're like, okay, where do I start? This appears to be too big. Praise the name of the Lord. Do your part. Again, soccer example, you know. No one can and should play all the wings. You are a fullback, you run to center back, you are an attacking midfielder, you run to the wings, then you are at, it won't work. You can't even do it successfully for 90 minutes. Even if you can, you are going to disrupt other people. You'll be getting in the space of people. You'll be inhibiting other people's creativity. Even if you can, you can't be the best in every area. You can't. So play your wing. Play your wing. You know, we all know those goalkeepers that always want to be infield players. I don't want to mention any goalkeepers. my daughter and I during the World Cup, there's one goalkeeper that is always trying to dribble a player. Just kick the ball out. And also, you know, because there are different sections, you cannot even catch a ball to save your life. You may not be a good goalkeeper. But then leave the post. There is a carved out section for everybody. God is not guessing. God is not guessing. So do not let what you cannot do be a hindrance for what you can do. Do not let what you cannot do be an excuse for what you can do. You cannot catch the ball, but you can dribble the player and create chances for the goal. You cannot defend for your life. You know, some people cannot defend for their life. They can't defend the ball, but they are dangerous at scoring. I know a player. I mean, if you follow soccer for a bit, you know, you may remember one or two players in this category. I know a particular player that every time he tracks back to defend, his players chase him out of the box because he always causes a penalty. Almost every time. He's awkward at defending. It gives out cheap fouls. So they say, just go. But he wants to be responsible and let's defend as a team. He said, but we don't need you here because you cause more problems for us. You're not responsible for the whole world. You are responsible for your section. And don't let what you cannot do. You may not be able to defend, but you know where the goal is. It should not be an excuse for you not to do what God has created you to do. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that there are different hands. There are different sectors. But it is the same wall. It is the same wall. There are different hands. There are different sections. But it is the same wall. It's the same wall. And if you read the book, the chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you will see, chapter 4, rather, you will see, yeah, notice that people repairing places that were, some people, somebody, were repairing places that are close to their homes. Because God often begins your section close to where he's already placed you and close to things that matter to you. Because if you don't repair the section close to your home, well, what will happen? Your home is vulnerable. And many times, God will take you into things that matter to you, that can relate with. So many times, before you repair the whole nation, yes, you want to repair the whole nation. Start with your family. Repair your family. You want to save the whole nation? Save your family. You are concerned about a whole generation that don't have home training, don't have respect, and you feel God is raising you to help them and to mentor them. Mentor your children. Don't stay there, but I mean, make sure your children have some home training. What will be the value of you saving the world and then there's nothing to tell about your family? So before you build that platform, what about the people that you can already reach? What about the people that already listen to you? What about the people that you can already add value to their lives? You need to put your hand to work where it matters most. And that is so powerful. And sometimes we miss things, we miss sequences because we look at the path we are operating and we are like, but this path is not famous. You know, I am not in the limelight. You know, nobody, I'm not shining here. You know? And many times, the truth is that even if you look at the human body, there are parts of the body that should never be exposed. But if that particular part says, I have to be exposed, after all, why are you always paying attention to the face? It's only the face that gets all the attention, gets all the makeup, gets all the lipstick, gets all the foundation, gets all the work, like we said last week. I also need to come out. There'll be chaos. There really will be chaos. So your section does not have to be famous. And that's the truth. Your section does not have to be famous for it to be necessary. Do you see your heart? Is your heart necessary? Do you see your brain? Your brain necessary? We should not fall for the trap that if it is not famous, then it is not useful. If it is not out there in the limelight, then it is not. Small sections become strong when everybody does their part. So if the part that is on first is left attended, it weakens everything else. It weakens everything else. Imagine, is your liver famous? Now, imagine the liver doesn't get blood supply because it's not famous. The whole face will shrivel. It has to be famous for it to be necessary. And we have to be comfortable with that. And it's so powerful because when it now becomes famous, it's not famous because of being famous. It's famous because it is necessary to be famous. There are things that are necessary to be famous. For instance, your face. It's necessary for your face to be famous, as your faces are famous, shining. You know, really. I hope you washed your face this morning. I hope you took care of your lips. My wife was saying yesterday that my lips is too dry. She's trying to put some moisturizer. I said, I'm mad. I did all this. You know, it says, I'm a man. That's true. Because when you neglect your section, somebody else will feel the brunt. Somebody else will have to carry that gap. If that lip goes brittle and rough, you are going to be kissing somebody else's daughter, and they will bear the brunt of your non-supple lip. So it doesn't have to be shining for it to be moisturized. So what is your section right now? And that's the question you have to ask. What's your question? What's your section of the world right now? Is it your prayer life? You need to hold it down. What is it? Is it your career? That you are present, but your heart is far away from your career. You're asking for trouble. You need to hold it down. It could be your business. It could be your family. So faithfulness is not doing everything. Faithfulness is playing your part. That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is playing your part. Ask yourself, Even think about this family, God's Favorite House. Am I playing my part? Everybody is here for a purpose. Everybody. Am I playing my part? If the answer is not a resounding yes, you are causing us trouble. You're a problem for us. If the answer is not a resounding yes, am I playing my part? So, the first thing that we have to do to get into that progression and get us into the place that God wants us to be is to what? Own your part. The second thing we have to do is what? Walk your section. Walk your section. Walk your section. You see, but as we go into the third thing, we need to realize that you can own your part. You can be walking your section, as we alluded to earlier on, and still approach it with the wrong spirit, and still not bring your heart. You can be walking with your hands, and your heart is far away. Jesus says that these people, they call me Lord, Lord. They are in proximity with me, but their heart is far away from me. So in vain do they worship me. Again, your worship will not be in vain. Amen. Worship becomes vain when the person is present, but his heart is absent. Parenting becomes vain when a parent is present, but their heart is absent. I'm not even talking about parents that are not present. You know, that's obvious, right? But some parents are present, but their heart is absent. Thing. Apply it to work. Apply to your career. People are going to work, but their hearts are not there. People are resuming in their businesses, but their hearts is far away. So in vain do they do the business. Vain business. So that leads us to the third thing, which is do it with heart. You are there. Your hand is there. Do it with heart. Your attitude touches the work. Now, and that's one thing folks don't get. They don't see that their attitude actually touches their assignment. You know, I hear people say to me, hey, but I did it. Hey, but Pastor, it was done. But it was done with a foul attitude. Yeah. It was done with a bad heart. The quality of the attitude actually sometimes, if not every time, determines the acceptability of the offering, of the sacrifice. So you can bring a sacrifice to God with a bad heart, He will not accept it. There was a man that brought the offering to church. Yeah, I've told you this story before, you know. And a lot of money. Cash. We have been praying because we had this project. And when he brought it, I thanked him. And the money, he came to my house and gave me the money. I prayed with him and he left. And I took the money into the room. And as I took the money into the room, God told me, give him back his money. This is our breakthrough now. We have been fasting and praying for how long? You know, he says, give him back his money. It's not acceptable. So I ran after him. I called him. I said, you know, bros, you know, how do you say to someone that God does something? It's not nice, you know. So I couldn't say it. So I just said, you know what? I think, you know, you should, you know. And he said to me, God did not accept my offer. And strong, big guy. And he started tearing up, crying. Later on, it was obvious why God didn't accept it. I remember that story, right? Good. But so we are going to stay here. So the point is that you can bring something to God. God has it. You know, folks think that, oh, when I've given to God, or I'm serving God, and what have you, it's as if God should be grateful. So I said, God, I mean, God should be grateful I'm here. But you forget that God has a right to reject it or to accept it. He reserves the right. Cain and Abel. Cain brought an offering. Abel brought an offering. God reserves the right to accept Abel's own. He exercised his right. And he also exercised his right to reject Cain's own. What am I saying? In every work you do, at school, in your businesses, at home, in church, you are doing it as unto who? God. And he reserves the right to accept it or to reject it. That, again, I pray, God will not reject the works of your hands in the name of Jesus. The thought of that, Paul will say, what manner of men ought you to be? The thought of that should make everyone humble and understand that this work has to be done delicately. Again, it could be the business you are doing, it could be your career, it could be your academics. Do you know that some people's academic work is not acceptable to God? Say, but how is that even God? It is God. Everything is unto God. Everything is unto God. Verse 20 of Nehemiah 3. Verse 20 says, Baruch earnestly repaired the other piece. Earnestly. Everybody was repairing, but Baruch was repairing with his heart. Earnestly. If you read verse 5 of Nehemiah 3, I know that in my notes, you know, the nobles of Tekoa. If you can bring it up, fine. Otherwise, the nobles of Tekoa, the Bible says that they did not put their neck work. They did not put their neck to the work. In other words, you know what it is not to put your neck to the work? They had no stake. They didn't. They were doing the work. They were present. Their hand was there, but it's like they're not going to exert themselves. I'm like, nah. God is watching that one too. They were building the works in sections. The Tekoites, another translation says, the nobles of Tekoa, they repaired, but their nobles put not their neck to the work of the Lord. They were present, they were working, but they were not invested. Praise the name of the Lord. They were not invested. Same wall, same opportunity, but what? Different attitude. Baruch brought energy. The nobles withheld themselves. Baruch brought aura. The nobles, they're like, you know what? Let's just build a wall. It will be built anyway. So that is why a mind to walk is more than a physical presence. A mind to walk is, it is beyond the physical presence. It is, this is me, but I'm not just here. I'm here to put to the walk, to put my heart to the walk. So you can have your hands near the work you actually can while your heart is nowhere near it. You can have your hands near the work, but your heart is far away from it. So God is not only watching what you build. He's watching how you build it. He's not only watching what you build. He's watching how you build it. Colossians, I mean, this scripture is so powerful. I alluded to it at different points in this sermon. You know, Colossians 3:23, it says that, and whatever you do, do it how? Heartily. As unto and not unto men. You know what that means? It means that we are designed as beings of applause. or as beings that respond to applause. That's how we are made, right? So if you, even a little child, if you do something and you applaud the child wants to do it again. He's excited, you know? You know? I have a thought that when he's been potty trained, when he pees in the potty, he comes, no matter what I'm doing, he comes with his brother. Oh, I pee in the potty. And my man, I'm like, so? You know, but I can't say that. He said, Dad, I pee in the potty. If I don't respond, and I pee, oh, you pee in the potty, I have to get up. And then we all have to dance. Pee in the potty. Pee in the potty. It's a dance. We have to do it. When we do that dance, and the high five, then it feels, yes, I've achieved. Every time he pee-pees in the pot, he has to look for me, and we have to do the dance. It's wired in us. Everybody loves to be appreciated. Everybody loves to be celebrated. Everybody loves, it's not bad. It becomes a problem when it's carnally motivated, when it's just the flesh, right? But that's not even where I'm going. It is an innate thing for us to be complimented and to be celebrated. But guess what God is saying to you and I? God is saying that celebration can come from men and celebration can come from me. When you walk, whatever you do, look for the celebration that is happening from me. I am also saying, pee-pee in the party, pee-pee in the party. I'm dancing with you. I mean, that will set you free, because when, in whatever you do, you are doing it heartily as unto who? The Lord. Not as unto men. Guess what? Because men can withdraw their celebration. Men can withdraw their appreciation of you. Oh, yes. Even people that love you so much, there are times that they will withdraw it. You upset them. They are not going to appear. Then you get discouraged. Then you don't put in your best. Because mom did not appreciate me. Dad did not appreciate me. Then that becomes a problem. But if you are doing it as unto who? The Lord is always celebrating you and will always appreciating you when you do it as unto him heartily. So you are always consistent. And then it doesn't really matter what men are saying or not saying, because the same people that were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. It was the same crowd that was motivated to say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify. The same people. 24 hours, less than 48 hours apart. The same people. They were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. We're shouting what? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So that changes the audience. It changes the audience. If I am doing it as unto the Lord, applause of men cannot be my fuel again. The applause of men cannot be my fuel. The recognition of men cannot be my reward. It is now unto the Lord. If you can make that switch, you become invincible in that area. In the area with which you can make this switch, you become unstoppable. Because it doesn't matter. And you are doing it unto the audience of one. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that if it's worth doing for God, it is worth doing with heart. It is worth doing with heart. And this is where your attitude, your heart touches your work. Your heart touches your assignment. You don't need to be chased. Your heart is there. Because when your mind is at work, you don't need to be chased to the work. So check your spirit towards your assignment. Have you become casual? What is it that you know God wants to be a part of, or what God wants you to do? But is my heart there? Is my heart there? Am I like Baruch, that I'm doing it heartily? Or am I like the nobles of Tekoa, that are not putting their neck in it? They are there. Their hands, but they're not putting their necks in. I mean, we see that every time, people are just selfish. So there are people, for instance, that are in church, but they will not like the post of the church. They will not share it. They will not share it on their timeline. You know why? They cannot bring their clout to such. And it's okay. You don't put your neck in it. But we see you. The truth remains that if it is God's work, God is also watching it. God is also paying attention to it. Will you be the noble of Tekoa, or will you be Baruch? Own your part. This is our wall. Walk your section. Do your part. Do it with heart. Bring yourself the assignment. So when everybody builds their part, everybody gets a wall. When everybody builds a part, everybody gets a building. When everybody builds their part, everybody gets a platform. So the work moves when people have a mind to work. To the extent to which that is possible, that becomes viable. Praise the name of the Lord. Either it is in your education, either it is in your career, either it's in your business, whether it is in your community, whether it's in church. When your mind is in the work, the difference is night and day. So let's bow down our hearts as we bow down our heads. And let us pray.
Just want to praise you, Lord. I lift my hands to say that I love you. You are everything to me. Exalt your holy name. Exalt your holy name.
I want us to just spend some time and think about all that we have heard today.
Exalt your holy.
Think about all that we have learned today about us. Owning our parts, working on our section, and doing all that we need to do with our hearts, all that we need to do for God with our full heart. And ask yourself, Am I presently owning my part? Am I walking my section? Am I doing it with my heart? If you are not in any of this, I want to just begin to pray and ask God for help. Ask God for help. That God should help you to hone your part. That God should help you to walk your section. That God should help you to serve Him with your heart fully. And while you are doing that, for someone here, maybe your own part is to give your life to Jesus. Maybe your own part is to just accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You have that opportunity right now. I want you to just raise up your hand wherever you are. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know that you're not saved. You know that you're not born again. That's your own part. That's what only you can do. Your mother cannot save you. Your father cannot save you. Your pastor cannot save you. But you can accept salvation yourself. And you will be the one that can be saved. So if you're here, you're not saved. You know that you're not born again. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. We want to pray with you. We're not asking you to come forward. We just want to pray with you wherever you are. Lift your hand above your head so that we know that you are there. We want to pray with you. If you are online, the instructions are scrolling on the screen. Just reach out and the online pastors will reach out to you. So if you are here, I'm giving you making the final call. Just raise up your hand and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we'll pray together. And that's where it's going to be.
Exalt your holy name.
So the rest of us, I just want us to keep praying that God will help us to hone our parts. God will help us to walk our sections. God will help us to do the work He has given to us with all our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Rekabole ndarabashiki ribahan satanakata. Mande broshie libahande basuita rikate. Manda rabakalumbo shie de basindi katarikate. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. And so, our Father and our God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your word that you have shared with us through your Son, Apostle Femi Monei. We thank you for all that we have heard today. We ask in the name of Jesus that these words will truly become life in us. We will be able to apply everything we have heard today in our daily walk with you, in our daily service to you, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that these words that we have heard today, Lord, will cause impact in our lives. And our lives will be the better for it. And your name will be glorified. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.